And now, live from Sharp Bassett's gallery, it's time for the I Love Ann Show.
Oh, that's right. We're back here at Sharp Bassett's gallery on the 72 bypass, and do we have the Lieutenant Governor on the air?
And now we have the Lieutenant Governor of the state of South Carolina, Andre Bauer, on the line for you.
Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you, Ann?
Oh, I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing good.
So tell me, you wanted to tell us about your trip. I didn't even know this trip was going on.
Yeah, they took 20-something, that was about 25 people from the state of South Carolina, some private business owners, some folks from the Department of Commerce, a couple of elected officials, county folks. I should first clarify, I did not go on the taxpayer dime. And I also did it while I took furlough. I voluntarily took furlough to lead by example. I asked everybody in my office to furlough, so I thought I ought to do it too. And, of course, Lieutenant Governor in South Carolina is paid part-time, so it hurt a little bit. But nonetheless, went over there and met with some people that are already doing business in South Carolina, met with the folks that have purchased 1,322 acres near Santee to build an intermodal port, which would affect so many businesses in the upstate, Greenwood, Lawrence, Greenville, Spartanburg, because of the fact that goods could be shipped cheaper. And, of course, if you're green, you ought to really love the thought of an intermodal port because it takes so many 18-wheelers off the interstate. Just Adidas and BMW, it would take 25,000 trucks a year off the interstate if you had an intermodal port up towards the upstate.
What's an intermodal port?
It's a facility which is gigantic. So it was an interesting dynamic. We looked at what they're doing for tourism, what they're doing for economic development, how they're attracting so much new capital investment from other countries into their country through tax-free zones. So it's very informative.
What's an intermodal port?
Intermodal port would be basically the port of Charleston. You would, you know, we've slipped in the last few years. Our port doesn't rank what it used to.
Mm-hmm.
And what this would do is it would take traffic right off the bat out of Charleston. A lot of Charlestonians, people that live down there, don't like all that traffic down there. What this would do is you'd unload the cargo straight off the ship onto a rail line, and then the rail line would then take the goods or products to a centralized location where land was cheaper and you could have so much more land. Then you could assemble things, you could distribute to different areas. It gives you a chance to work with the product and assemble and actually, you know, take stuff apart. It allows you to do so many different manufacturing opportunities where the land is too valuable at the port itself, where you'd have to put it on 18-wheelers and take it somewhere else. And South Carolina is very blessed in that by truck you can reach 70% of the population of the United States in 2 days by 18-wheelers. So you have a centralized location where you can go from the boat via rail line to this intermodal port, and then you'd have companies that assemble products that get part of the product from off the ship. A lot of different dynamics in having an intermodal port, but the real basic things are cheaper, more space, not right there in the port where it's so busy. Allows a lot of different opportunities for people wanting to grow in their current business.
And so Charleston is actually for this?
Well, Charleston, a lot of the people in Charleston, you know, appreciate the port, but the port continues to grow and it expands. And, you know, whether they look at the fact of what it does to, you know, some of their green space, or whether they look at the traffic congestion or what it does to their roads. And then you get a lot of people who, you know, don't want to see any more growth in that, so they're against the port. You know, we saw that with the Daniel Island expansion, how that was stopped because of so much outcry from the public.
And so you went there on your own dime. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, there was, I saw some interest here. I was trying to find something about this trip and did find where some of the tax people that went on the taxpayer's dime.
Not Andre.
Not Andre.
The county, some of the county folks did.
Some of the county folks did. So what else did you see while you were there? Are they having any difficulty? I understand that some of the big buildings, big skyscrapers and everything, they've actually stopped building.
They have. Tallest building in the world. Still more building than I've ever seen going on at one time in my life, but they are feeling the crunch as well.
Had you ever been to Dubai before?
I have not.
What did you think of it?
Hard to explain it unless you can see it. There's just so much growth. But it does show that capitalism works. They have tax-free zones, and they've gotten international businesses. They've grown a port that, you know, 20 years ago was basically nothing, and now it's one of the biggest ports in the world.
All right, Andre, can we have a tax-free port here?
I'd love us to have several different tax-free zones. Number one, I think we ought to have a green zone, that anywhere, if you do anything with biofuels or trying to create green homes, that we ought to take a rural place in South Carolina that needs economic development, we ought to say, it's a tax-free zone. And so your business, if it comes here, you will not pay corporate income tax. Now, you're going to pay income tax on your employees, you're going to pay a business tax, business licensing tax. We still would collect a lot of taxes, but you take a rural area in South Carolina, become internationally known for leadership on being green, it would give South Carolina a new dynamic since we're losing so much in manufacturing. We've got to be innovative. We've got to be cutting edge. I think we need to come up with certain tax-free zones that cater to certain businesses that will come and create jobs and really high-paying jobs, and will also put us on the map to show that we're not just some rural state caught in the past, but in fact we are innovative and moving forward.
See, that sounds good, Andre. Any other ideas out of this trip?
I'd like to see us again. You know, if you look at what some other states like Delaware, small rural state, but they've done a phenomenal job in offering, you know, being attractive to business. And so South Carolina, business. The problem is being a populist is a very easy thing to do. You can promise people that you're going to do so much for them and you want to lower their taxes and you want to raise it on big business. Well, that sounds great in theory, but big business is what pays the taxes. The little bit that the average Joe pays does not add up to nearly what big business pays, or what the top 5%. Something like top 5% of all the taxes paid, of the taxes paid, the top 5% of the people that pay taxes pay something like 80% of them.
That's right.
It's an ungodly disproportionate number. So we can continue to say tax the rich guy, and the rich guy decides to move his company overseas. We've got to be creative. What you want in taxes, you want them spread across the board so that everybody pays what's fair and equitable, but you don't make the burden so high that you run off all business. And so South Carolina has got to be creative in making it attractive for business to come here versus somewhere else.
Sounds to me like you're for that fair tax there, Andre.
I love the fair tax, the flat tax, anything that is progressive, not regressive, and I continue to see it. As populists say, oh, let's lower the taxes on the poor people, but they forget that's why business won't come somewhere if you don't make it lucrative for them.
That's true. Well, anyway, you know, I read your article, Prime Rib for California, a Salad for South Carolina. What's going on?
I like the governor. I'm against the stimulus package. I think it's a bad bill. How is that bill's over with now? It's passed. There's no longer debate in that. The debate is, who's going to get the money? And I just don't think it's good business to say, South Carolina, let's turn the money down and give it to 49 other states when our taxpayers are still going to be burdened with paying the debt.
So that's why we're getting a salad if we don't take the stimulus.
If we don't take it, we're going to be sitting here barely feeding ourselves, still putting more debt on each South Carolinian. But for example, California will get an additional $78 million if South Carolina turns the money down.
Well, that's not good. So what do you think about using it to pay down the debt, though, Andre?
Well, I love that idea, except that the federal government's not going to allow us to do that. So, again, sounds great in theory, but it's not realistic. So take care of expenses that you have to pay anyway. You know, schools have become notorious for doing that. They'll cut out the book money so that people run home and say, oh, they didn't have money for books, and they'll spend that money to build a new daggum stadium or buy band uniforms. You know, it's top priority. But they know if you go to the parents and say, we don't have money to buy a stadium, nobody's going to get excited. But if you say we don't have money for books, so take money on expenditures that we know we're going to have to pay for in the state of South Carolina and fund them. and then take those monies that we had, we were going to spend for those and spend them on other things that are progressive and help us long-term in our state. There's creative ways we could spend the money.
Yeah, I think
some of it's directly allocated out, but again, do you give the money to another state or do you take it? When our needs are so great in South Carolina, I just can't see us saying, you know, y'all take the money, we're going to be so principled that we're not going to take it, and we're going to continue to take on the debt the federal government throws on us for this outrageous spending.
Well, I think you're right. Now, you know, but how does this all relate? How does this relate? You're talking about bringing businesses in. You know, we've got so many seniors moving into our area. How is this all going to come together, Andre?
You know, there's money in there for things like people that can't afford to get breast cancer treatment. You know, if we don't take the money and don't have ways for these women to get breast cancer treatment, then we just let them die?
Yeah.
You know, do we take money that keeps people, you know, there are sometimes when spending government dollars is actually a good thing. If we can encourage people by spending a few dollars to go to an ER, let's do that. Because if they don't go to the ER, if we don't find a way to get them into the general practitioner, they will go to an ER. We have abuses in the system. So we've got to direct these people that think they need to see a doctor to go to a different type of environment than just thinking, oh, we'll go to the ER, because the cost is so great. And so we've got to have general practitioners that will take these people. And so we've got to get creative. And there are health care dollars that come in that take care of all kinds of things in that several hundred billion dollars bill. There's money for seniors. If we can prevent falls with seniors, if we can keep seniors in their home and not have to have them in nursing homes, all that saves money in the long run for South Carolinians.
That's right. You know, I think, what was it, Saturday you kicked off a Healthy Heart Symposium down there?
That is right. Dr. Oscar Lovely, because I had traveled to Hilton Head and Myrtle Beach speaking. But a good crowd. We taught them how to cook healthier. We taught them about taking care of themselves. You know, I've been on a crusade to try to cut down the cost of health care by telling people to eat healthier. I lost my grandmother congestive heart failure. She, after she cooked the bacon, she'd turn that pan up and pour it in the little tin can, and then she'd cook with it later on. And there's so many people probably listening to your show right now that do that. But it's terrible for your heart, and you can die prematurely from cooking that way.
So this is a whole new senior health initiative. And, you know, that's one of the things you are passionate about, is all our seniors here in South Carolina.
Well, I want to see us do all we can to improve the lives of them. The lifespan is expanding, and that's a great thing. But it's not just about length of life. It's about quality of life.
That's right.
We want to improve the quality of life. We had a forum not too long ago in Greenwood where people came out and talked about different senior issues they're dealing with.
Well, it sounds like you got a cold when you were over there in Dubois.
You know, I think it's this daggum pollen. Allergic dogs.
Well, we certainly got enough pollen this year, didn't we?
Got my eyes itching, everything else.
Well, you know, Andre, it was so nice when you were here in studio last time. We had so many more calls for those blankets that you gave out. It just, it was great. It was great. A lot of seniors enjoyed getting those blankets.
I'm glad they got them. Another chance where government didn't have to get involved, private citizens got involved.
That's,
of course, as we talk about this bailout, rest assured, I am as anti-big government as it gets. I think there's so many opportunities to try to give tax incentives for people to give money to charity, faith-based organizations, communities, because all of them can deliver goods and services better than big brother government. But, you know, again, that's not the debate up just right now.
That's right. You know, well, anyways, that's a subject we probably could spend a lot of time talking about, huh?
No question.
Well, hey, Andre, it's been nice having you on the show today. And you get over your allergies there and call me up some other time and we'll talk again.
Y'all have a super, super day.
All right. Thanks so much, Andre.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. All right. That was Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer right here on WLMA 1350 AM.